Fedora Infrastructure Puppet Training. Slide 2, Puppet Configuration Management. People new to configuration management may think that it only deploys files from one place to another. Modern configuration management systems, like Puppet, can actually control almost all aspects of configuration of a host once it has been provisioned. This includes determining not just where configuration files go, but what should happen when those configuration files get deployed. Should packages get installed before config is deployed? Should a service be disabled by default? Puppet can manage all of these things either natively, by built-in support, or by arbitrary command running. Slide 3, Basic Theory. The basic theory behind configuration management is that there should never be a need to run commands directly on any host to set them up. As long as the critical data is backed up, if a host fails, rebuilding it should be a two-step process. First, reprovision, kickstart the host, then run Puppet. This reproducibility is something very beneficial to all organizations, large and small. As long as the critical data is backed up, a new host can be rebuilt from scratch, typically in around 15 minutes. This is a major benefit to disk images, which typically get out of date quickly and require large amounts of storage compared to just the config files. Puppet also allows for admins to make global changes easily. Deploying a new NTP config file to 10,000 hosts without some management system is absolutely crazy and error-prone. Using proper source control mechanisms with Puppet allows for a full change auditing system. Emails get sent to admins before a change goes out, and the change gets logged on each system. Puppet can also make a local and remote backup of the file that has changed. The big difference to those who have not used configuration management in the past is that Puppet is doing the work that the admins used to do. This is a change in workflow for those not familiar with it. Time gets spent on creating new config files, templates, and manifests. It generally has a higher upfront cost with long-term benefits. Slide 4. Key Terms. Puppet uses the term Puppet Master to refer to the central Puppet server. Puppet Master not only refers to the service, but also to the host on which that service is running. It has all of the manifests, templates, and config files on it. Nodes are each server that Puppet manages, and manifests are what admins write and what the Puppet Master sends to the Puppet nodes to tell them what to do. Slide 5, the Master Node Model. When a node contacts the Puppet Master for the first time, it sends an authentication request. On the Puppet Master, Puppet CA --list will show a list of outstanding requests. Use Puppet CA --sign to sign the request and allow the node to authenticate with the Puppet Master. Once signed, the node can then rerun Puppet to pull a compiled list of its manifests that is then converted and stored in a YAML form on the local node in /var/lib/puppet/localconfig.yaml. This is used by Puppet to figure out how to configure that node. The YAML format is used internally by Puppet, but is useful for debugging. During the run, Puppet does each resource individually. As discussed later, the require meta parameter tells Puppet the order in which things should happen. For example, you wouldn't want to start httpd until after the httpd package had been installed. The bitbucket is stored on the server and the node, and keeps a backup of what files were replaced. The bitbucket is stored in /var/lib/puppet/client bucket. Slide 6. Using Puppet Language. In this example, we create a new Puppet resource. The resource is /etc/ssh/ssh_config. Basically, we've created a new sshd config file and are deploying it. In the next line, we tell Puppet we would like to create a new file at /etc/ssh/ssh_config. Next, we tell it where it can find the actual source of that file with source. The mode parameter says that this file should always be of mode 0600, owner writable, but not readable by group or everyone. The notify meta parameter says that when this resource gets changed, Puppet should restart SSHD. And last, we have a require meta parameter that lets Puppet know to only deploy this config after the SSH server package has been installed. Tip: Notice the puppet colon slash slash config slash system slash sshd underscore config URL. Let's take that apart. Puppet colon slash 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 says to use the puppet protocol. This can be changed, but we don't use it in Fedora. Also notice that there are three slashes there. There's nothing where you typically see a hostname. This tells Puppet to use the default Puppet server. You could explicitly list a different server here if needed. Config slash. This is actually defined in the puppetmasters.fileserver.conf and points to a directory on the file system. In this case, slash var lib puppet config, for example. The system slash sshd underscore config is the path to your file relative to the config dir. So in the above example of config, this would physically point to slash var lib puppet config system sshd underscore config. Slide 7, using Puppet packages. Managing packages in Puppet is very easy. This example installs OpenSSH server and uninstalls the Telnet server. Basically, define the package with package open bracket OpenSSH server. The ensure metaparameter can also take a version number or latest to ensure that the latest version of the package is always installed. As it's listed here, we're just making sure that OpenSSH is installed and that the Telnet server is not installed. In heterogeneous environments, Puppet can be told the provider of various packages and even an explicit URL on where to get it. See the documentation for more details at reductivelabs.com. Slide 8, using Puppet services. Puppet can manage services much in the same way it manages packages. Here's the breakdown of this example. First, define the service with service open brace sshd colon. Next, make sure it is running or started with ensure set to running. If it is not running, Puppet will attempt to start it. In the next line, we set enable to true. This is functionally similar to chkinfig sshd on and ensures that sshd will start automatically when the server is rebooted. Finally, the require package OpenSSH-server means to not attempt to do anything with the service until after OpenSSH-server has been installed. It's worth noting that the order of metaparameters listed in the resource isn't relevant. For example, require could have been above the enable, and functionally Puppet wouldn't have behaved any differently. To disable a service, you can set ensure to stop and enable to false. Slide 9. Using Puppet, classes. Classes are how Puppet glues various resources together to create an actual usable function that our nodes then use. If file, package, and service are puzzle pieces, then a class is a finished picture. Nodes then are a picture book. This class name is called SSH-server. This entire class can now be included in other classes or in node definitions, which we will discuss next. Slide 10, a quick review. From here on out, most everything one would do in Puppet relies on the basic building blocks that we have described. File is a resource for files, service is a resource for the actual running processes, and package is a resource for actual package installation. Other resource types come up, but they all follow the same basic format of resource, name, parameter, value. If you need more information, please see the Puppet introduction from Reductive Labs at reductivelabs.com. Slide 11, nodes. Node definitions exist to let Puppet know about each host that Puppet should be managing. Puppet starts by searching for the fully qualified domain name, then shortens it each time until it gets to just short hostname. The general Puppet format should be familiar by now. Node open brace app1 colon says that we're defining a node called app1. This would match app1.fedoraproject.org or app1.stg.fedoraproject.org. The next line, include ssh-server, says that this node should be including the SSH server class. By using this class, Puppet then knows to install OpenSSH server and deploy the config file and ensure that OpenSSH is running. Slide 12, server group abstraction. Server groups are an abstraction layer to classes. The basic idea is when you create a new class, you don't want to have to include it in every node that actually needs it. Instead, you group your like nodes together in a server group class, then you include your worker classes there. For example, let's say the following worker classes have been defined: proxy and SSH-server. You could create a proxy server server group like class proxy server, and then include proxy and include SSH server. Slide 13, server group abstraction continued. Here we create and include our previously created server group class. Node proxy 1, include proxy server. Then in each proxy node, you just have to have a include proxy server. This saves you time when you're adding a new service to your proxy farm, as it only needs to be added in one place. This also reduces the possibility of human error and helps admins visualize the environment in terms of various farms of servers and not the individual hosts. Slide 14, modules. Modules are an excellent way to organize Puppet manifests and files. With a few exceptions, Puppet modules should take on the same name as the package they control. They should be written in a modular way, not inherently specific to Fedora. This is so we can share our modules with others and get modules more easily. It's not a hard requirement, just a good idea where possible. A module consists of config files, templates, and manifests, etc. Slide 15. Module layout. All modules have the same basic layout as defined on this slide. The only real required pieces are the README and manifest/init.pp files. Each directory is mostly self-explanatory. Modules is a directory containing all of the modules. Module name is a directory containing your module. Files contains config files for the module, like ssh/d_config. Manifest contains all of the manifests for our module. Manifest/init.pp is the first manifest Puppet looks for regarding the module. Puppet includes this file automatically. Plugins contains Puppet plugins, an advanced topic which is described in other documentation. And finally, templates contains various templated config files. Slide 16, module, SSH server. To convert our SSH server class into a module, we need to first create the basic directory structure. In this case, in our modules directory, we need to make the directory OpenSSH. And in that directory, we need a README file and two other directories, files and manifests. Naming of the module should be based off of the base package name. OpenSSH has three packages: OpenSSH, OpenSSH clients, and OpenSSH server. All of these should be configured and included into a single module called OpenSSH. Each module will contain multiple classes. Modules, init.pp. Much of the package and service resources have been left out of this example because they are identical to that of our earlier class. In fact, only two lines have changed at all. Take a moment to locate them. Initially, we called our class SSH-server. We are now calling our class OpenSSH:SSHD. It is best to think of the OpenSSH:: as being its own namespace, followed by what you are including. In this case, SSHD. There could very well be an OpenSSH:client or an OpenSSH root keys. It is important to note that what comes before the :: must match the module name, in this case, OpenSSH. The only other line to have changed is the source line. In the previous example, Puppet Master had a defined file share on it called configs/. Now that we're using Puppet modules, Puppet auto-defines a file share for each module. Just put module name into the same location that configs was earlier, and Puppet should do the right thing. To break up our new source line, Puppet :// openssh/sshd_config. Puppet:// is identical to before. Use the Puppet protocol and the default server. The openssh/ is used instead of config to let Puppet know it's a module and to look in openssh/files. sshd_config is relative to the module name/files. It could have also been in its own hierarchy like ssh server/configs/sshd_config if you had a module with lots of stuff in the files directory and are in need of better organization. Slide 18. Modules. Exceptions. As of this writing, Fedora infrastructure is still in a transition to the new module deployment method. Some of this training will change over time, but largely what is covered here will remain true. For now, when changing things, just look to see if the module exists. If it does, use it. If not, use the old method or try to help convert to the new method. Exceptions to the module rule are those that include custom scripts, which are now in a scripts module. The private repo stuff still works as it used to, where passwords are stored in the private repo and the password variables are stored in the actual manifests. Slide 19, modules. What's changed? This slide is mostly specific to Fedora infrastructure. In the past, our manifest files used to have different file types for each type of file. Of them, we had certs, Apache files, config files, template files, etc. Each of these was just a wrapper for the file resource with some defaults behind them. At first, it was a shortcut, but it added some confusion as to what was going on behind the scenes. Many of the defaults in the wrappers often got changed anyway, so it wasn't much of a shortcut. As a result, we've gotten rid of them. With modules, we'll be explicitly defining each file and their modes, ownership, etc. This allows people to look at examples and be more familiar with exactly what's going on, as well as having our modules be a bit more modular. Slide 20. Advanced Puppet Topics. Before moving on to the rest of the training, it is important to have a strong comprehension of everything discussed before this point. Please see the mailing list or other help resources to obtain this foundation before moving on. Otherwise, it will be less like training and more like a technology preview. Puppet has the ability to reference and replace variable names like many modern languages. In addition, Puppet has built-in variables that can be referenced both internal to Puppet and from an application/library called Factor. Puppet can do some basic syntax logic both in templates and in the manifests. And finally, we'll also discuss using the define syntax so that one can easily create templated logic to do complex things that are not a part of Puppet's built-in system. Slide 21, Puppet variables. Puppet variables and operations are typically very basic. Keep this in mind when formulating a plan to use them. In these examples, we've created some common variable types. $groups equals sysadmin-main sets variable groups to the string sysadmin-main. Note the single and double quotes are different as described later. TCP ports equals 80,443 creates an array of TCP ports with two values, 80 and 443. Other groups equals double quote $groups space foo double quote sets groups to sysadmin-main space foo if it was defined after groups was defined. Groups 2, however, with its single quotes, will set groups 2 to the actual value $groups space foo. Just as with other languages, single quote is for a literal string. Slide 22, Factor. Factor is a separate application that Puppet depends on to get many of its facts. Basic variables include operating system, netmask, kernel version, fully qualified domain name, domain, etc. All factor facts can be listed by typing factor in the command prompt. All of these variables can be referenced by Puppet in manifests and templates using the same technique previously described. For example, $fqdn. Slide 23, Custom Factor Recipes. All factor recipes are written in Ruby. They should be placed on the local file system of each node that needs them in /user/lib/ruby/site/ruby/1.8/factor/yourrecipe.rb. This basic example sets variable name to variable value. Obviously, it isn't very useful, but with some basic logic, you can set variables like virtualized to determine if the host is a virtual machine, or set the location of the host to the name of the rack it is in. This is a powerful feature of Puppet, and there are many factor recipes that already exist, so before writing one, see if one's already available. Class 24, If Logic, Manifest. This if statement is not very useful, but it demonstrates what one can do with logic. If the proxy backup variable is defined and set to a non-zero value, then include the proxy backup data class. Else, include the proxy live data class. This if statement could be included in the proxy server class. One would have to explicitly set proxy backup in the manifest or have a factor recipe do it. Slide 24, Case Logic, Manifest. In this case statement, we're using the factor variable architecture, and we have statements for i386 and x86-64. If this node is an i386 box, we include the i386 host class. If this node is an x86-64 host, then we ensure that the Electric Avenue package is installed. This example demonstrates not just that classes can be included in case statements, but entire other resource definitions could be listed. If this was a PPC host, no action would be taken as a result of this class statement, as only i386 and x86-64 are covered in the example. Slide 26, Templating. Templating is a powerful way to not have to keep many different files around. It is far more powerful than normal files in that looping and logic can occur from within the template. The example on this slide would, for example, print an x86-64 in the config file if it were an x86-64 host. Puppet uses ERB templating, and more information can be found online. Slide 27, Templating, If. ERB templates use standard if-else logic. In the example above, anything between the percent tags will not get printed directly, but processed. Everything depends on the host name being proxy1 or not. If it is proxy1, the config file will have a "this is a proxy host" equal true printed in it. If the host name is not proxy1, then the config file will have a "this is an app server" equal true and a this host isn't proxy1. It will also have a special var equal some special value depending on what special value was set to, either in factor or in a puppet manifest. Note, if special value was not defined anywhere, Puppet will throw an error letting you know this. This can be handled in the actual manifest that would include this template with a statement seeing if the value was set. If it was, do nothing. If not, set it to some default. Slide 28, Using a Template. Using templates differs from using files. With files, we use source and puppet:// This is because, in theory, the puppet source file could have come from many different locations, not just our puppet master. Templates are special and are handled differently. Let's take apart the template line one by one. Content. This lets Puppet know that we are not just copying a file from one location to another. We're going to process this file. Source and content are mutually exclusive. Template. This is a special Puppet function. It tells Puppet that we're going to use a template, ERB by default, and currently all that's supported. Module name /template name.conf.erb. This specifies the path to the template. Similar to files, module name /template name.conf.erb translates to modules/module name/templates/template name.conf.erb. Puppet should just do the right thing. Slide 29, Custom Defines. Custom defines are a way to create new Puppet resource types. In our older setup, we created many custom file types as discussed earlier, Apache file, config file, etc. In this example, we're going to be setting an SE Linux Boolean. It is not important to know what SE Linux is doing. What is important with this example is to know that we're running a command to set our value and running a command to check our value. Unlike most previous examples where a file was created or changed, SE Linux Booleans aren't stored in a simple flat file. The Boolean we're going to be using is allow httpd mod auth pam, which, when set to off, will deny httpd access to authenticate against pam, and when set to on, will allow httpd to authenticate against pam. Slide 30, custom defines, SE Linux underscore bool. This slide has a few new syntaxes that may be unfamiliar. What is important to remember is the earlier slides about literal strings. Let's take this line by line. Define SE Linux underscore bool, dollar bool. This says we're creating a new resource type called SE Linux underscore bool. We used service and file type resources earlier. Puppet has these built in, but if we were to define them ourselves, they would look like define file, dollar mode, dollar owner, etc. File types have many more parameters that get passed than our simple SE Linux Boolean. Also notice that name is not passed explicitly here. It is passed automatically. Exec set sebool-p name equals bool. This runs the set sebool command and sets name to bool. In our case, bool will always be on or off, and name is passed to SE Linux underscore bool from a lower example. Unless get SE bool name pipe grep dash qe bool. The unless command is in place to see if the SE Linux boolean is already set. If it is, then do not run the exec. If it is not set, then run the exec to set it. The grep is at the end because get SE bool does not have a return code that is useful for scripting. So we grep for the bool at the end of the line. Dash Q keeps it quiet and keeps the logs clean. And dash E means to use expressions, which the final dollar does by checking only the end of the line for the boolean. Again, CDW is your working directory. The SE bool underscore allow httpd mod auth pam is how we're actually going to use our newly defined resource. In the past, we'd used file slash path slash to file. Whatever comes directly after the open bracket will translate into name in your defined resource. Bool on. We're setting this bool to on. This is a custom parameter that must match the dollar bool listed in the parameter of the define. In our case, it was bool, but it could have been multiple values, and we could have even set the default value if we wanted to dollar bool equals off in the resource definition. Slide 31, exec. In our previous example, we used an exec to set the SE Linux boolean. In this example, we're doing something a bit more complex. We ran into an issue in our environment where sendmail was not being stopped when the RPM was removed, so we came up with a quick, immediate fix that would get deployed to our entire environment. Let's look at it line by line. Exec fix underscore sendmail. This is the name of the command that we're about to run, important only so you can notify it when a resource changes. Not so relevant for this example, but quite relevant for others. Command. This is the actual command we're going to run. As you can see, in this example, it's many commands. First stop sendmail, then remove the RPM, then restart postfix. Only if. We only want to run this command if sendmail is actually running. This prevents the command from being run every time Puppet runs. The only if parameter is the opposite of the unless parameter used in the previous example. CDW, common by now, sets the working path to use when this command is executed. Slide 32, common tasks, directory. One common problem is creating empty directories. The proper way to do this is with ensure directory. Notice the file name definitions we have in the array listed there. This is new for an example, but perfectly valid. Instead of having to create an individual file request for each directory, they can both be done here as could other directories. Puppet will not auto-create parent directories. /srv is included as part of the file system, but srvweb is not. Therefore, when we create /srvwebcache, /srv needs to be created first. I'd also like to note that anything referenced in Puppet, for example a require meta parameter, must be explicitly defined somewhere. If there was a config that required file /srv, the above example would not satisfy this requirement, and Puppet would throw an error unless someone adds /srv to the above definition. Additionally, one could not require file /srv/web/, but could require file /srv/web. The name of the resource is a string, and string /srv/web is not equal to /srv/web/. Note the trailing slash. Slide 33. Common tasks. Restart. Restarting services is a common practice for Puppet. In our case, when we alter an Apache config, we need to restart Apache. Using a service httpd restart is a pretty blunt thing to do. It will knock off other users that might still be connected and might fail to start up again if there are errors in the config files. Restarting gracefully is preferred as it allows the current threads to finish and will do a config test first. The only addition we have in this example from the previous service example is a restart line. We're telling Puppet not to do the default restart, but to instead run this arbitrary command, httpd graceful. Slide 34, Git workflow. Our Git workflow is such that no one without root access can put files into production machines without having gone through Git first. Our commit system pushes to Git automatically and emails get sent. This leaves behind an audit trail as well as lets other admins know what is going on when it's going on. We also have a staging branch which will be discussed later. Configs committed to our Git repo can be tested on the remote nodes by logging in and as root running puppetd-t --noop. The noop ensures that no changes get made. We're just looking to see what would change. Slide 35, the end. Questions? Email mmcgrath@redhat.com. Also see Reductive Labs for more info. Thank you for listening.